Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. And okay, so this isn't really going to work today. We're going to have to start things a little differently. It's got to be a lot quieter. So James, I'm going to ask James. He's our engineer. James, could you just fade the music out? Thank you. That's better. Now, so we need the quiet because do you remember that Super Bowl ad earlier this month? That Michelob commercial where actress Zoe Kravitz is sitting outdoors, two microphones on a table, and she's whispering?
This beer, so pure you can taste it. Michelob Ultra Pure Gold.
Now you might have wondered, why is she whispering? Or maybe you got it. Either way, it was the most mainstream moment yet for an experience that's flourished on the internet since about 2010. One with the scientific-sounding name, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. Though there isn't a huge body of science around it yet. So what is it? Well, head over to YouTube, type in ASMR, and you will find thousands of quiet videos with tens of millions of views. People, mostly women, whispering, tapping things, brushing their hair, or making scratching sounds. That particular video from YouTuber ASMR Magic has more than 33 million views, by the way, in just the past 7 months. Then there are all the videos of eating. Here's Suella eating crunchy garlic bread and noodles. So what's the point? Well, most people who watch these videos, who experience ASMR, they say it's a cascade of relaxing, pleasant brain tingles.
This tingly sensation is euphoric. It starts in the back of your head, travels down through your spine, into your limbs.
That was Maria Viktorinova, also known as Maria Gentle Whispering, a true star of the genre. So this hour on Point, ASMR, what it is, and why it's moving mainstream. And you can join us. Do you experience ASMR? Do you watch these videos on YouTube? Has it changed the way you sleep, relax? Has it reduced your anxiety? Or do you watch it for other reasons? Or do these sounds make your skin crawl rather than tingle? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us first today from Winchester, Virginia via Skype is Craig Richard. He's a professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University and the founder of ASMR University, a website that serves as a news source and resource center for updates on ASMR. He's also author of Brain Tingles, The Secret to Triggering Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response for Improved Sleep, Stress Relief, and Head-to-Toe Euphoria. Craig Richard, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Meghna. Welcome. And I have to say you did a wonderful job on that introduction. I am deeply relaxed.
Good. Well, hopefully we can maintain that tranquil state throughout the hour as we explore ASMR here. I mean, full disclosure, obviously this has been quite a phenomenon for many years, but I hadn't heard of it until a couple of months ago. And then there it is, boom, on the Super Bowl with this commercial with Zoe Kravitz. I read that you consulted on that commercial?
Yeah, the ad agency FCB reached out to me. And they were very interested in incorporating ASMR triggers into the commercial. But they didn't want to just sprinkle them in or make a parody. They wanted to actually stimulate ASMR in some viewers.
And did they... I'm sorry to interrupt, but so this was for Michelob, as we mentioned. Did they say why they wanted to do that?
To make it genuine. They didn't want to do a parody of ASMR. They wanted to actually have some people be able to watch it and perhaps to experience ASMR for the first time, or if they already experienced it, to just enjoy that ASMR moment.
Is a 1 minute or 40 second Super Bowl commercial enough time to experience this?
Yeah, it is. It can really come on suddenly, the feeling of the deep relaxation. And so the primary triggers they had were the personal attention, the whispering, and the tapping. Any one of those at any moment can just cause this deep wave of relaxation and brain tingles.
Okay. Maybe the problem is me, but it didn't happen to me. How prevalent is this experience of this, having this kind of bodily reaction to these sounds or triggers?
Yeah, no one's done a random population sampling yet to know what percent of all humans can experience ASMR. It's definitely global. We see a lot of responses all over the world. My best guess is maybe 20% of the population can experience it strongly, and maybe 40% to some degree.
Okay, 20 to 40%. So let's talk a little bit more then about what people are actually experiencing. Brain tingles is what it's called, but what is it?
Yeah, it's definitely deeply relaxing. That is the main core part of it. If you're exposed to what we call ASMR triggers, and you just get this wave of relaxation, and it's usually accompanied by, as you said, brain tingles, they might feel like scalp tingles. It's these pleasurable, sparkly, staticky feeling, not goosebumps, but just light staticky feeling that starts in your head and may travel down your spine.
Okay. And then does it produce a physiological response that's lasting after that?
Yeah. Throughout, it can kind of ebb and flow. So say you're watching an ASMR video. There can be moments where you get this surge of ASMR, and the surge of ASMR is going to be those pleasurable brain tingles, but then you're going to remain relaxed throughout the entire video, and then you feel relaxed afterwards also.
Okay. So clearly there are many, many people out there who've experienced this because it's a huge, you know, community and it's growing. But the videos themselves, though, I mean, is it any kind of hushed, intimate sound that can trigger? I'm asking genuinely because there's so many varieties of videos out there. Or is there something specific about the nature of here I am, like, scratching my microphone. Is there something specific about that kind of sound? My engineer's laughing at me. Don't scratch the microphone, he says. Okay. No, but I'm serious. Like, because it seems like there's eating, there's scratching, there's tapping, there's whispering. Mm-hmm. Could it be anything that just has an intimate feel?
There is a formula, and the formula is best explained as positive personal attention with non-threatening movements and sounds. When you see that moment, your brain registers that as the other person is non-threatening and they're safe. And usually they're acting in a caring way. And so your brain registers that as, oh, this is a moment I can be relaxed. And for people who experience ASMR, they have this heightened relaxation with the brain tingles. And so those key moments can involve light touch, like someone just that you care about and cares about you, maybe lightly playing with your hair, or maybe they're doing some kind of gentle sounds. And so in real life, these moments happen frequently between clients and hairdressers. Like if you've ever had, you know, your hair washed by someone when you go to the hairdresser, a lot of people just that grooming feeling and that personal attention and that light touch and that caring disposition just causes people to relax. And it happens between clinicians and patients during like an eye exam. So for me, it's the eye exam with the wheel of lenses where it goes click, 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 one or two, one or two. And it can also happen between teachers and students when a teacher is demonstrating how to solve a math problem. And so all those videos on YouTube, they're simulating some aspect of those. It might be a role play as a hairdresser, might be a role play as a clinician, or they could simply be making some of the sounds that are associated with those moments.
So what's the difference then, or is there a difference between the emotional response of feeling that someone is caring for you versus the physical brain tingles? Is there any difference here?
Well, I think they are one and the same because they're both going to be driven by changes in brain chemistry. Uh-huh. So it's just that we feel it and we report it as relaxation. But that relaxation is going to be driven by things like endorphin, oxytocin, changes in GABA, and other neurotransmitters and neurohormones. It's all in how you want to word it.
Right. But it doesn't work on everyone, though. Like, you maybe won't be surprised, but we have comments flooding in about this. Jill Jacobson has sent us a message on Facebook. She says, any kind of mouth noise, because mouth noises are one of the kinds of ASMR videos, smacking, right. Chewing, snaps, clicks. Jill says it drives me absolutely insane. How anyone finds them soothing is unfathomable.
She is in the other 20% that already has a term, and that term is misophonia. So when you listen to mouth sounds, maybe chewing sounds, if you find them relaxing, the new term for that is ASMR. If you are really annoyed and they aggravate you, there's a term for that, and that's misophonia, which means hatred of sounds and hatred of specific sounds. So it is curious that you have these two 20% extremes on how people can react to certain sounds.
I might be in the other 20%. I'm not sure yet. I haven't watched enough videos to say. But I want to play a quick piece of tape here, Craig, because there is a public broadcasting star who's had kind of a resurgence in fame because of ASMR, and that is Bob Ross, the painter. People experience ASMR while watching his PBS show, The Joy of Painting.
We'll go right into little phthalo blue. I like phthalo blue. It's a very warm blue. Very nice. Let's go back up here and still using our little crisscross strokes, X's. Since these are oil paints, we're washing our brushes with odorless paint thinner. Shake off the excess.
That's Bob Ross, or a clip of Bob Ross from The Joy of Painting. Craig Richard, hang on here for just a second, because I know that Bob Ross figures large in your interest in ASMR, so I'll ask you about that when we come back from a break. But we are talking about ASMR and this sort of internet phenom that's now moving into the mainstream. Do you watch these ASMR videos? Do you get those brain tingles? What kind of feeling does it give you? Is it replacing something that's missing from your life? Or can you not fathom the idea of watching a video of someone eating for 20 or 30 minutes? This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about ASMR. It is also known as Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. There's a whole genre of YouTube videos out there with many millions of views, and everything from people whispering to scratching paper to tapping. It's designed to generate this brain tingle, as people call it. And ASMR has had its most mainstream moment yet with a Super Bowl commercial that featured Zoe Kravitz that aired just a couple of weeks ago. And I'm joined today by Craig Richard. He's professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University and founder of ASMR University. And we've got so many comments coming in. I mentioned that Zoe Kravitz and Michelob commercial. And Omaha Guy says, "The whispering reminds me of the intimacy and acceptance I felt during the morning after when my lover and I woke up silently and whispered how special we are to each other. Yes, I had tingles from that moment," Omaha Guy says, "and I resent how advertisers are trying to invade that moment." So, Craig Richard, just respond to that quickly before we get back to Bob Ross here. But you, lots of people saying they don't want advertisers to try to use ASMR to sell them beer.
Yeah, to some way, that's always a good concern to have, is those things that feel intimate and personal to us that we may not like seeing those used by advertisers. I think the upside is that I would like to see more relaxing advertisements. Right now, the go-to formula for a commercial is to be loud, fast, and alarming. And we have too much stress already coming into our lives in many other ways. I'd like more commercials to be quiet, slow, and comforting, and instead give me a moment of relaxation. So there's definitely upsides and downsides to it.
Yeah, no, I hear that for sure. Well, you know, before the break, we played that little moment from Bob Ross, the famed painter of, you know, who was on public television for many, many years. Of course, the late Bob Ross, I should say. Craig Richard, how did he figure into your life and your interest in research in ASMR?
Yeah, he helped me kind of understand that I experienced ASMR. In 2013, I was listening to a podcast, and the episode was about ASMR, and I'd never heard the term before. And they were talking about it, and I didn't really believe what they were talking about, it because I'm a physiologist, and that term just sounded like woo-woo bunk to me.
Yeah.
Until they brought up Bob Ross. And they said, people who experience ASMR tend to find Bob Ross super relaxing. They might feel brain tingles. And my eyes lit up, because when I was a kid, I would come home from school, I'd turn on Bob Ross, I'd put down a floor pillow, and I would get super sleepy. My brain would get fuzzy. And I usually fell asleep halfway through and never really saw him finish a painting. I didn't realize not everyone responded to Bob Ross like that. And I think it's his... he fits the formula, which is he has the kind disposition. He's so caring. He has the gentle voice. He's teaching you something. He's showing you something. And then he's making those gentle sounds when his paintbrush goes the tap, tap, tap on the canvas. And the entire experience is, for a lot of people, their most memorable or first ASMR experience.
Wow. I am reconsidering Bob Ross in a major way now. Let's go to the calls, because Greg is calling from Medway, Massachusetts. And Greg, is Bob Ross, or was Bob Ross, an early ASMR experience for you?
Hi, yes. He was. I was a paramedic in the late 80s and early 90s and would work these long shifts for a busy 9/11 department, but I would tape Bob Ross. And when I got back home, it was one of the only ways it could really settle down. Of course, you had no idea it was ASMR or what the tingles were, and I think people just assumed it was natural. But I was wondering if he notices that you sort of develop a resistance over a little while. Like if you watch them too often, you sort of lose the tingles a little bit, and you kind of have to move away from them for a little while. At least that's my experience.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thank you for your call. Craig Richard, what do you think?
Yeah, Greg, that's a great question, and it does occur. It's commonly referred to in the ASMR community as ASMR immunity. A better term, though, may be ASMR tolerance, because what's happened is you're becoming temporarily tolerant if you do get constant stimulation by ASMR triggers. If you watch a lot of ASMR videos or Bob Ross marathons, then you may lose those tingles. And so what's been shown is that if you wait about, it could be for some people several days or up to 2 weeks, then the strong tingles and the strong ASMR tends to come back.
Huh. So, Craig Richard, this leads me to a question which I'm really curious to hear the answer to. Are there's not that much science yet around what exactly is happening in the brains of people who experience this, but there's some, right? So is there any evidence that there's like just different neurological wiring in the people who experience these brain tingles when they're triggered by it?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, some researchers looked at the brain scans of people who said they could experience ASMR, and they looked at the brain scans of those people who said they couldn't and didn't experience ASMR. None of the populations were experiencing ASMR during the brain scans, but what they saw was a difference in functional connectivity is what it's referred to as. So just basically that, there does seem to be some basic differences in the brains of people who can experience ASMR versus those that can't. And we also published a brain scan study recently, Bryson Lochte, myself, and others. And what was different about ours is in our brain scans, the people did experience ASMR during the brain scan. And we saw certain areas that were activated. And those areas that were specifically activated during ASMR are very similar to the areas that are activated during moments of positive personal attention, meaning bonding moments and grooming moments, or what's referred to as affiliative behaviors, which is basically what's happening when you're watching an ASMR video, or your brain thinks it is, or you're actually interacting with someone in real life who's stimulating your ASMR.
This seems to me, I don't mean to oversimplify it, but this seems to me to be perhaps evidence of the physiological response that humans naturally have to feeling loved.
Yes. Yes. And when you look at the neurotransmitters and neurohormones that are involved in love, which is such a big word, it's a lot about endorphins, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin. And all those cause this feeling of relaxation, this feeling of comfort. And love is just such a wide, broad term. But I think ASMR fits under that umbrella.
It does amaze me, though. Maybe this is just how the human machine is so amazing, that those same responses can be triggered by hearing people scratch paper, though, or
right,
eating. So on that note, I want to introduce another guest into this conversation. Suella joins us now. She's joining us from Los Angeles. She is an ASM artist, as they're known, with over 1.6 million subscribers. Her YouTube channel is devoted to food-related ASMR. And let's listen to a moment from her most popular video. It's been viewed more than 35 million times. It's Suella eating Korean black bean noodles. Suella, welcome to On Point.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So you have a lot of followers who listen, watch, and feel comforted, apparently, by watching you eat things like noodles. How did you get into this world?
I started about a year and a half ago, and I also was seeking something relaxing, and I discovered the ASMR community virtually by accident. But now I use it every night to kind of unwind from a long day.
Okay. So, but now your videos are almost exclusively eating, though, right? Noodles, bread.
They are, yes.
Okay. Why eating?
So I'm a foodie, you know, from the very beginning of, you know, time. And I just found food so comforting. The videos that tend to be more popular are like the spaghetti and meatballs, the fried chicken, things that people can identify. And I think it stems from, maybe it's evocative of their childhood favorites, and they kind of live vicariously through my videos.
Okay. I mean, obviously extremely popular, so many followers, tens of millions of views. But on the other hand, Suella, we're only using your first name because is there a darker side to this that you didn't want us to use your full name here?
Oh, it's just I'm just trying to keep a little bit of privacy, security. I'm about to have my family, and I just want to be sure that no one can show up at my door trying to get a photo or anything like that.
So I mean, I have read stories of ASMR artists who have been doxxed, they've been stalked. I mean, they're, I suppose, as with
any public endeavor? There's the possibility of some extreme fandom. I mean, is that a concern?
It is a concern. I feel like my videos, people believe they know me. They feel like they watch my videos every night. They feel like they're following my journey, my pregnancy journey. So I do feel like people think they know me. And there has been issues in the YouTube community with people going too far, trying to visit their favorite creator.
Okay. How has this had an impact on your life?
It's surprisingly it's been such an amazing opportunity, honestly. I never thought I would be here. I started thinking, oh, this is just a little bit of a hobby. I enjoy food. I'm going to just showcase what I know, create some regional dishes. My background is Vietnamese, so I do a lot of Asian dishes, and I show people like the noodles I enjoy having, and surprisingly, other people enjoy the same comfort foods I do.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, because I want to be perfectly honest, Suella. I do not question your popularity, but you know, there is some fetishism around, especially, you know, Asian women and food. That is also part of the internet as well. And sometimes it's a concerning part of the internet. But that's not what you're doing.
Nope, it's not what I'm doing at all. I think when people don't understand a genre, they kind of immediately jump to conclusions. So my actual little subset of ASMR is a foodie realm, which is actually a combination of two hugely trending subjects on YouTube. It's the mukbang trend, which is a Korean version of sharing a meal with your audience, and ASMR, which is just calming sounds. So I've kind of combined those two, and I'm not the one who originated it, but I just combined those two, and it seems to be very well received.
Yeah. Well, Suella, joining us from Los Angeles, California, an ASM artist with more than 1.6 million subscribers. Suella, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Craig, Richard, let me turn back to you briefly. How can we distinguish people who watch ASMR videos for relaxation, and I just have to ask you frankly, and fetishism?
Yeah, fetishism is a response. So there are just some people that can be sexually aroused by things that aren't typically sexually arousing. So like a shoe, a car tire, like those are fetishes. You can't really control that too much from the audience, because you never know. You could be tapping on a Rubik's Cube and someone could have a fetish to a Rubik's Cube. So it's hard to control. ASMR videos, though, are not sexual, like meaning the ASMR response is not a sexual response. There's been three different research studies that have all reported consistently that when people describe their ASMR response, they do not report it as a sexual response. But that doesn't mean people that are watching the videos may not be sexually aroused. So if you imagine a very typical yoga video, has someone in it that's young, attractive, fit, showing a lot of skin, and moving in a suggestive way, could be how the viewer could interpret that. And the viewer could be sexually aroused, but that's not the intent of the yoga video. And that's how it is with most ASMR videos, is that you do have the creator in the video who's probably young and attractive and acting in a caring or intimate way. Mm. And some people will just be sexually aroused by that moment. And then there are some ASMR video artists that purposely add sexual stimuli into their video. So now they've shifted it from just an ASMR video to a sensual ASMR video, which is a genre.
I see.
And there they may purposely put in sexual sounds and behaviors to add that other component to it. But that's not inherent to ASMR.
Well, we have a comment on Twitter coming in here. EC says, so glad ASMR is becoming mainstream and not looked at as some odd fetish. EC has been using it as a relaxation tool for years. Well, let's go back to the phones. Christina is calling from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Christina, you're on the air.
Hi, I never even knew this was a thing until Super Bowl came around and until this aired today. I was in the living room talking to my family while Super Bowl was on. That commercial came on. I immediately turned around. and looked at the TV and felt this like warm thing come over me. I never knew this was a thing. And now I'm so glad you're talking about this because I'm really going to look into it. I've never watched a video. I've never done any of that thing. But I want to know where I fall into this because I don't know how I'm wired. I can't stand to hear anyone eating or chewing or even breathing too loud.
Well, but Christina, with that Michelob ad, though, the response was so sudden for you? Really?
It was immediate. I turned around and I thought, who is that? And I knew it was Zoe Kravitz when I looked at her. You know, she's an actress. But then my focus went from her being the actress to not even what she was saying, but how she was saying it. You know, and then, you know, my mind just, you know, whoa, what was that? And I even felt that way a few minutes afterward. And I never told anyone about that. And I kind of kept it to myself because I never knew this was real, like I said, a thing.
Wow.
And so best believe I'm going to read up on it when I get home. This is very interesting to me. Thank you for speaking about it.
Oh, well, Christina, you're most welcome. Come into the ASMR light, if I could say. Christina, thank you for your call. Craig, Richard, how do you respond to Christina's sudden, I guess, revelation?
Oh, well, the FCB ad agency is celebrating because they wanted people to have that moment. They wanted to make it genuine. Christina also highlighted something that's really important about understanding ASMR. She said she doesn't like mouth sounds and chewing sounds, but she found some of the triggers in the Super Bowl ad as triggering. And so these ASMR triggers are a food buffet, which means you walk up and you sample some and you're not going to like some. You may not like mouth sounds, but you like whispering. You may not like chewing sounds, but you like tapping. And so it's all about sampling all these different ASMR artists that are on YouTube to find your best triggers.
Wow. Well, Craig Richard, stand by for just a moment. We are talking about the world of ASMR, or Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about ASMR, or Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a very vibrant corner of YouTube with tens, if not hundreds of millions of views of videos of people whispering or scratching paper or doing things like ear stroking. Here's a moment from a video where you'll hear someone stroking like an ear, making an ear stroking sound. There's some of the most popular ASMR triggers. This one is from ASMR Magic. That's the YouTuber's name. Over 7 million views. So that's an ASMR ear stroking video, which in many people who watch it makes these brain tingles happen. It triggers this cascading physical response of tingles throughout the body. Now, if you hadn't heard of ASMR, maybe you're behind the times. I was behind the times because it's big. I mean, it's Cardi B big, the Grammy-winning hip-hop artist. She's a huge fan of ASMR. In October 2018, she did an entire interview with W Magazine ASMR style. She did it in ASMR style. And she says these videos help her sleep.
My name is Cardi B, and I'm going to talk a little bit about myself ASMR style. Okay.
That's Cardi B doing an entire interview in the style of an ASMR video. Let's go to Alana, who's calling from Buffalo, New York. Alana, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Do you watch ASMR videos?
Every single day.
Wow.
Every day I watch them. I was on prescription medication for sleeping over 5 years ago, and some of the heavy hitters, you know, some the things you have to get from your doctor. And ASMR has helped me get off of them and stay off of them and sleep. Even if I wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes at 2 a.m, I'm one of those people who doesn't always sleep through the night. I will put an ASMR video on and I will go right back to sleep.
This is amazing. So did you know you had that in common with Cardi B?
Well, I've been listening to them for about 5 years, the ASMR videos. But when I saw hers, I mean, that was just through the roof. Awesome.
Okay. Well,
so I did not know I had that in common with her. I did know that I had triggers, though, in real life before I found out about the community, because I would experience it from certain things in real life, like when a teacher was writing on the chalkboard and her bracelets would clink together, or when the supply manager at my office would come over and ask me what I needed for, you know, the week. And her voice and just her mannerisms and the way she spoke, I would get this tingly, almost, it would be like, I was kind of useless for the rest of the day, really, because I was so relaxed.
Wow.
My brain was fuzzy. I would be completely blissed out.
Amazing. Well, Alana, thank you for your call. Craig Richard, Alana was saying that she doesn't have to take her prescription sleep aids anymore. We have another comment coming in from Ashley on Twitter who's saying, I've been using ASMR to help manage my anxiety. It's so effective that my bottle of Xanax remains untouched in my medicine cabinet. How common is that? And are there any actually perhaps concerns that people who should they be on prescription drugs and are instead looking to these videos to solve problems? I mean, is there any area of potential worry here?
Well, first off, it is very common. There are lots, thousands and thousands of anecdotes online about people saying that this is as effective or more effective than perhaps some medications they're taking. We see in our study that for those that have been diagnosed by a clinician with disorders like anxiety and insomnia, about half of them are self-reporting that ASMR is helpful to their condition. And that's great news that ASMR can be so helpful. So that is clearly the upside. The downside and the potential concern is that there may be an underlying problem that ASMR videos and triggers are never going to correct.
Right.
A thyroid disorder, a tumor, things like that could be driving anxiety, insomnia, depression. So it's not so much that you shouldn't be utilizing ASMR videos, but that if you're having some kind of clinical condition that's severe enough that you feel an ASMR video is helping you, go and talk to your clinician because there's no downside to that. They might find an underlying problem that they then fix. They might give you a co-therapy that could make, you know, your response even better, meaning that you can manage your anxiety or insomnia better. They may suggest alternate therapies because, as we heard earlier, there may be a time when the ASMR videos may not work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have a plan B and a plan C ready to go that's recommended by a clinician.
Right.
And maybe they'll also talk to you about lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
There could be something that you could do in your life to reduce your anxiety.
Huh.
And that's just going to allow you to enjoy ASMR videos in a different way, rather than just as therapy, but just for their enjoyment.
Well, so there seem to be an almost unlimited number of subgenres in this new world now, because I was, you know, I've also reading and thinking about some videos that are entirely made for pregnant women who may be experiencing anxiety related to their pregnancy, and people in an ASMR style talking to them to help relieve their anxiety. Here's sort of a more generic one, ASM. Artist, again, as they call themselves, Karuna Satori, she created a video called ASMR Safe Space, meant for people experiencing anxiety.
Your feelings are valid. Everything that you are feeling right now is valid. I care, and that's why There's nothing right now over there, up there. It's just us. And we're going to go over your feelings.
That's Karuna Sartori, an ASM artist. And Craig Richard, I might be in that other 20% because it's actually a little hard for me to hear that kind of whispering. But, you know, obviously this is really reaching a lot of people and it's reaching into new spaces as well. So to that point, let me turn now to Leah Abelson. She's joining us from New York. She's the NYC director of Whisper Lodge, a spa that holds immersive ASMR performances for guests. So taking it out of the realm of the digital world and putting it in real life. They've also performed in New York City, LA and San Francisco. Leah Abelson, welcome to you.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you so much for having me.
So can you just describe briefly what one of these immersive ASMR experiences are?
Sure. So a typical Whisper Lodge would usually involve a couple group exercises. We usually have around 5 to 7 guests per performance. And we will start them with a group exercise, sort of a sound bath meditation, kind of just a place for them to relax and forget the outside world. And then we'll bring them into a series of one-on-one experiences that pull influence from a lot of the common themes that you would see in online videos, such as role plays, trigger noises, kind of involving all 5 senses into the experience.
And so who is coming to these experiences?
So that's a really interesting question, actually. We have a really diverse audience, surprisingly. We do get a lot of ASMR fanatics who have followed us from the beginning, people who fly out to see us, which is always incredibly flattering because they don't have an in-person ASMR space otherwise. But besides that, we do see a lot of more regular theater goers, even wellness people, people who are interested in yoga, in health and fitness, and sometimes people who have never heard of ASMR, never really done experiential theater, and just heard about it through a friend and said, that sounds weird, I have to go.
Yeah. I wonder, Leah, what you think about this. I mean, Craig Richard was telling us earlier how what they've thus far been able to measure in the responses of people who are, you know, feel these strong physical responses to ASMR triggers, it's akin to the body's response to love. I mean, it makes me wonder if we're now creating spaces where that's what's going on, that we're trying to create new spaces for intimacy in the modern age. And that's one of the reasons why people are so drawn to these experiences.
You know, Meghna, that's exactly it. For me, at least, that is the paramount draw of Whisper Lodge and of ASMR in general. I, for one, really appreciate and thrive off of intimacy. I am a very physical person. I'm a very emotional person. And I don't think necessarily that our world, as it's built right now, offers a lot of public safe spaces to embrace intimacy and love and connection, especially between strangers, and done in a very private but safe fashion. And for me, when I I'm either on the giving or receiving end of ASMR, I feel such a deep love and such a deep connection with the people that I'm sharing that space with.
Well, Leah Abelson, New York City director of Whisper Lodge, a spa that holds immersive ASMR performances for guests, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Craig Richard, let me turn back to you here because what Leah said takes me to a comment that we have here from someone calling themselves Dan Beachman, who says, ASMR is beautiful, one of the best parts of my digital life, but there's also a real dark side to it, one of loneliness and isolation. ASMR artists are some people's only interactions, which is sad and alarming. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, especially the way that's worded, it can definitely be a concern that we don't want to make it so that the only place people are turning to for intimacy and this sensation of love or whatever we want to call it is a video on YouTube with a stranger that they don't know and they'll never get to know. I don't know how much, though, that is actually happening to that extreme, mm-hmm. you know, where that is someone's only connection. I view it in a way as supplemental intimacy. I think most of us have only so much time and opportunities in our day to spend time with people that we really care about. And so ASMR videos give us this other opportunity on demand that you can hit play and you can generate a similar biochemical response, which is probably healthy if it's being used as a supplement. And so the parallel here is vitamins. Vitamins are nutrient supplements. It's best to get them from your food, but you can supplement them from getting them from a pill, and for the most part, that is can be healthy. And exercise.
Yeah.
What we call exercise is supplemental physical activity. We should be getting most of our physical activity in our day-to-day motions, you know, whether it's work or play or whatever. But we also go to the gym, and that's supplemental physical activity, which makes us a little bit healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for most people, ASMR videos are providing supplemental intimacy to the what they're getting throughout their day and throughout their week. That is hopefully making people feel a little more healthier and be a little bit healthier.
Yeah, hopefully. But the skeptic in me also still thinks that it's a modern technological response to the problems of modern life, and it doesn't necessarily bring people together to be more physically or emotionally intimate with each other in real life. You're dragging me along towards the path of belief, though, Craig Richard. Let's get one more caller in here. At least let's go to Adam, who's calling from Attleboro, Massachusetts. Adam, you're on the air.
Hi. Real quick, I think maybe my first exposure to ASMR was hearing a comedian in a long-form interview, and she talked more about not so much the crinkling paper or ruffling sounds, but voice specifically referenced Bob Ross, but also what might be near and dear to your heart, the NPR voice, as she termed it, that sort of calm, soothing interview voice, right? And I was kind of wanting your opinion on that and your thoughts and feedback. It looks like there's a subreddit on it specifically, too, so... Again, near and dear to your heart, maybe that's a trigger that people could become aware of now and find it on one of your shows.
So there's an NPR voice ASMR subreddit, Adam, you said? Okay.
It references, I was on hold, just took a quick search and found one real quick. I didn't really dig too far into it, but, it was apparently a few years back I heard that interview originally, and, you know, it makes sense that Bob Ross voice is an awesome one. I wish I got the response that's been described by some of your callers, but... I want to learn more about it, and, you know, it sort of made sense to me that, you know, that soothing calm, that brain tingle type thing.
Yeah.
Again, wish I had the response, but.
Well, I have to say my only opinion about it is if listening to public radio, listening to NPR brings people any kind of intellectual, emotional, or even physical tranquility and space and understanding, I'm all for it. So that's my view about that, Adam. Thank you so much. Craig Richard, we've got about a minute and a half left here. This has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. I'm curious what you think are sort of the key next scientific questions that you would like to have or that you are asking or mm-hmm. searching for the answers to regarding this. You know, it seems like seems to be this very pervasive phenomenon of ASMR.
Yeah, I think the next step is going to be clinical studies. I think we have so much anecdotal data. We have so much survey data, and it's all very consistent that there is a large percent of the or a significant percent of the population that reports benefits from ASMR for significant conditions. And so this next step has to be clinical studies, where these studies are recruiting patients with confirmed diagnoses, and they're measuring clinical outcomes and maybe comparing it to evidence-based treatments, not just for confirmation, but for also how to best utilize ASMR, which are the best triggers. How often should you be exposed to an ASMR trigger so it doesn't go away? There's a lot of things that can be learned by doing these next clinical studies.
Yeah. Well, Craig Richard, professor of biopharmaceutical sciences at Shenandoah University and founder of ASMR University, a website that serves as a news source and a resource center for updates on ASMR, and author of Brain Tingles as well. Craig Richard, thank you so very much for joining us this hour.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
And, you know, we've still got comments coming in. Josh says the way they hit S on the exhale in those videos in your ear, if you weren't expecting it, the warmth of the breath will send chills down your spine, make the hair on your arm stand up. Scott Nicholson says certain songs or chords can be ASMR triggers. There's usually some emotional resonance involved. It's not 100% reliable, but I love it when it happens. It's magical. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated, and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices, and they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons, and there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken, is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.